Beginning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois. This is Shir number 20. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD or to any of our other Shiurim Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 40, Pasuk 10. Bisarti tzedek bekohol rov hines fosai lo echlo Hashem ato yodota. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. Behold, I do not refrain my lips. O Hashem, you know it. I proclaimed the words of the Torah to the masses. I do not refrain my lips from teaching. You have my Hashem, know that I speak the truth. I have proclaimed, I taught Torah to the masses with passionate delight, as if bringing them happy tidings. Behold, I will not refrain my lips. May I never cease disseminating the teachings of the Torah. The essence of love for one's fellow men is to bring them close to the Torah. As Hillel said, love human beings and bring them close to the Torah. Then again, David says, because I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly, my lips will continue to move even in the grave. I will not refrain from my words. When righteous and saintly men are approached for advice or are asked to intercede to cure a sick person, at the very outset, they will raise the petitioner's spirit by assuring him or her that deliverance would certainly be forthcoming. Then they pray to Hashem for their words to come true. Similarly, David says here, in the proper sequence, I have proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. Behold, I will not refrain my lips from offering a prayer, that my words come true. O Hashem, you know that when offering them my words of encouragement, I had in mind to pray to you. The Talmud teaches that one pasuk says, your word have I hidden in my heart. And another pasuk says, I have proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. That's our pasuk over here, but the other pasuk that says, your word have I hidden in my heart, is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. But there's no contradiction. The former was said when Ira Hayiri, David's teacher, was still living, and a disciple may not expound in the presence of his master. Here, Ira Hayiri was no longer living. Besides keeping the mitzvahs, David says, I proclaimed your righteousness in the great assembly. I also endeavored to disseminate the teachings of the Torah among the people, so that many would learn to know you, O Hashem, and acknowledge your name. I will not refrain my lips. I will not prevent my lips from proclaiming your righteousness always. O Hashem, you know what my lips proclaim will be known to many, but only you know what's in my heart. If your Torah is in my inmost parts, so that my deeds are proper, then I can also preach in the great assembly. Thus our sages propound, if the teacher is like an angel of Hashem of hosts, then seek Torah learning from his mouth. But if the Torah I preach is not in my inmost parts, then the people will say, before telling us to remove the spindle from our eyes, remove the beam from your own eyes. First protect yourself. It was not for personal glory that in the great assembly I did not refrain my lips from recounting your justice and righteousness towards me. O Hashem, you know the truth that I did not seek self-acclaim when I did not hide. Your righteousness within my heart, I only wanted everyone to know it. There are four things for which one must give thanks publicly. Surviving a plague, being rescued from the sea, being freed from prison, and recovering from illness. These are all evident miracles which one acknowledges in the great assembly, but I will not refrain my lips from always giving thanks as well for the hidden miracles that only you know, Hashem. As it says, blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. This is found later on in Tehillim. Since the one who benefits from a miracle is not aware of it, I will not refrain my lips from giving thanks to you, for you may have performed a miracle for my sake at that very moment. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Tzidkoscha lo chesisi besoch libi munoscha shuoscha omorto lo chichadati chastocho v'amitcho lekol rov. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your mercy and your truth from the great assembly. I perfected myself not only in my deeds and opinions, but also by teaching the true conceptions to others. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have not kept to myself knowledge of the practical mitzvah, but taught others. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation, not only to individuals, but I have not concealed your mercy and your truth from the great assembly. Your truth also includes the principle of reward, that Hashem may be relied upon faithfully to reward those who walk before Him. I did not keep my own righteousness concealed within my heart, that I alone should be perfect. Rather, I spread your faithfulness and your deliverance to everyone. I have not concealed your mercy and your truth from the great assembly, in order that the whole world become righteous. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Ato Hashem l'sichto rachamecho mimeni chastocho v'amitcho tamid yitzvuni. You, O Hashem, will not withhold your mercies from me. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Do not withhold your mercies from me when I need them. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, just as you saved me from this one trouble to save me from all troubles. Just as I did not refrain my lips from proclaiming righteousness in the great assembly, so you, Hashem, do not withhold your mercies from me. Always be compassionate towards me. Nor do I plead for your mercies to be extended to me only after I have fallen. Rather, let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me from falling. Spare me the pain of falling. In another sense, David pleads, in emulation of you, let me always be compassionate to my fellow human beings. Thus it says that Hashem may show you mercy, a blessing found in Chumash Devarim. That is, let him give you of his mercifulness. Whoever is merciful to his fellow man, mercy is shown him from heaven. Your loving kindness and your truth continually preserved me beyond what I merited. May it also be so in the future, that you, O Hashem, will not withhold your mercies from me. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Ki afifu alai ro'os alei mispor hisiguni avanosai velo yecholti lirois otzmu misa'aros roshi vilibi azavani. For innumerable evils have enclosed me, my iniquities have overtaken me, so I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Innumerable evils have enclosed me, for my iniquities have overtaken me. There is no affliction unless there is sin. I am unable to look up, because my sins are so many, more numerous than the hairs of my head. David likens his troubles to the hairs on his head, which keep growing back even as they are cut off. A related interpretation says, I'm not able to look up. My eyes ache, and my heart has failed me out of dread over my sins. So many evils beset me that they have caused me to lose my power of sight. The throbbing of my heart too is affected, for besides being so numerous, my afflictions are terrible. As a result, the hairs in my head and my heart have failed me. That is to say, both my brain and my heart are devastated. Because I'm immersed in so many iniquities, I can no longer see them. Compared to a merchant who sometimes makes a profit and sometimes takes a loss, he makes an inventory of his stock, calculates the turnover over of every item, and makes his plans. But if all his goods fell into the sea, there would be no point to all his calculations. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Ritzei Hashem lehatzileni Hashem lezras yechusho. Be pleased, O Hashem, to save me. O Hashem, make haste to help me. Be pleased that all times may be your will, Ratzon, O Hashem, to save me from every trouble and affliction. O Hashem, make haste to help me. Innumerable evils have enclosed me. David said earlier, and so here he asks Hashem to save me from those evils. It includes a plea to make haste to help me against the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15, Yevoshu v'yachpur yachad, mevakshei nafshi l'sposo yisogu ochor v'yikolmu hafeitzei ro'osim. Let them be ashamed and abashed together that seek after my soul to sweep it away. Let them be turned backwards and brought to confusion that delight in my hurt. My enemies will be ashamed and abashed together when they see that you are with me. They will be turned backwards and brought to confusion that delight to hurt me. They will not be able to destroy my life. Although they unite together in order to humiliate me and to seek after my soul, here they will be turned backwards and brought to confusion. Pasuk Tazayin, Pasuk 16. Yosomu al Ekev Boshtom Ha'omrim Li Ha'och Ha'och. Let them be desolate because of their shame, that they say to me, Aha, Aha. Let desolation overtake them in retribution for shaming me, for their joyful cry of Aha, Aha, my affliction. Although they came against me united together, as we learned in the previous Pasuk, they will become desolate for shaming me. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17. Yosisu ve'yismuchu b'chol kol mevakshecho yomu somit yigdal Hashem o'avei teshu osecho. Let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your deliverance say continually, Hashem is exalted. Unlike your enemies who shall be desolate, let all that those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your deliverance say continually, Hashem is exalted by the miracles you perform. Those that seek you look to your deliverance. They do not look for salvation at the hand of man. David prays for the righteous who desire nothing except to occupy themselves with the Torah and to perform its mitzvah purely for the sake of heaven. As our sages teach, who is a man of devout piety, a chassid? He that practices loving kindness towards his maker. Whether they prosper or suffer, the righteous will always say, Hashem is exalted, magnified and exalted be the name of Hashem. Because they love your deliverance, their desire is to behold the divine presence, the Shekhinah, exalted and glorified, rather than worry about their own needs. They will merit to rejoice and be glad in you in the future. The Medrash says, My Hashem, do not tarry. That's going to find in the next pasuk. For I look to you to redeem me today as well as tomorrow. Pasuk Yuches, Pasuk 18. Vani oni ve'evyon adonoi yachshol li ezrasi mefalti ato lahai al ta'acha. But as for me that I am poor and needy, Hashem will account it to me. You are my help and my rescuer, O my Hashem, do not tarry. Despite all the good that has befallen him, David makes it known that he still sees himself as poor and needy in good deeds. He's not deserving, therefore, of Hashem's deliverance except as a divine kindness. He pleads for Hashem and his kindness to help him and save him as if he were a man of stature and perfection who deserves such help. Do not tarry to do so. But as for me, although I am a king, I yet see myself as a poor and needy in relationship to you. I stand in need of your kindness always. An old man had young children, and he worried about them. What will happen to them after his death? A sage told him, Occupy yourself with Torah study. Every free moment to pour out your heart and pray before Hashem. He will find ways to help you. Similarly, it says here, I am poor and needy, but Hashem will account it to me. Hashem will worry for me. Chapter 41, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk 1. Lamnetzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David. Pasuk Beis, Ashrei Maskil Eldol B'Yomro Yimaltehu Hashem. Happy is he that considers with understanding the poor helpless. Hashem will rescue him in the day of evil. In the present Psalm, David describes the happiness of the man who in his afflictions turns to Hashem for help, after he finds that no one else considers with understanding the poor sufferer. Psalm concludes with a thanksgiving to Hashem for having enabled him to complete the first book of Sefer Tehillim. The sick man is Dal, a helpless sufferer. Happy is he who visits the sufferer and knows how to encourage him and strengthen his spirit with words of concerned understanding. He will merit that Hashem will rescue him in the day which is evil for him. Others see the day of evil as referring to the sick patient. Hashem will rescue him, not the physicians who can only heal successfully with the help of Hashem. The visitor encourages the sufferer by telling him Hashem will rescue you in the day of evil. Another interpretation says, Happy is he who is considerate of the poor man by helping him in wise ways, even when times are hard for him as well. It is nothing special to help another when times are good. The main thing is to do so in bad times. When one who helps the poor man in wise ways is himself suffering from privation and hardship, certainly Hashem will rescue him on the day of his troubles. Thus our sages explained the pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu, "Then you will call and Hashem will answer," refers to one who has given assistance when he himself suffered privation. One requires intelligence and wisdom to help the poor man without shaming him. The Gemara relates when Rabbi Yonai once helped a pauper. He was told, "It would have been better if you had not given him than that you gave him and shamed him." Another reading says, "Sometimes it requires much wisdom to recognize when a particular person is poor. It requires deep humanity, as indicated by the first letters of the words Maskil Eldal, which spell Adam, a man. One must be a man in order to discern another's man's woe." A figurative interpretation says, "Happy is he that considers it with understanding the poor. He can anticipate his fate after death. Should he remain poor, devoid of good deeds, by spending all his life making money, he realizes that his children will inherit his wealth, leaving him poor in possessions as well as poor in good deeds. So he strives to give charity and to perform good deeds with his money. As a result, he is happy." A subtle interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages that the reward of fasting is charity. They mean to say that when one fasts, he feels in his own body what it means not to eat. He will then naturally feel the pain of the pauper and dispense charity. In the merit of his generosity, he will be saved from evil. Thus David says here, "Happy is he that considers with understanding the poor. On a bad day, on fast days, when the body feels bad, for in the merit of his charity that he then dispenses, Hashem will rescue him. Happy is he that considers with understanding the poor. He does not wait for the pauper to come begging, but goes out to inquire about him and his situation. Happy is that man, for if he subsequently finds himself in a difficult situation, even if he is unable to cry out, Hashem will rescue him. The same applies if one lends money to a pauper who is unable to pay it back. Whenever the lender sees him, let him cross over to the other side of the street, lest the other think, 'Oh, he comes to collect the money that I owe him.' Even if he does mention the debt, the pauper may still feel embarrassed. He may imagine that the lender suspects them of not wanting to pay it. There's a story about a man who was very knowledgeable in a great many matters, much more so than anyone else around, and he would also set aside fixed times for his Torah study. Once it so happened that a widow came to him while he was studying and asked that he buy her a certain article. 'But how can I forgo my Torah study?' he encountered. A wise man overheard his reply and said to him, 'You are no better than Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yeshua, who went to the marketplace to purchase a cow for his son's celebration. Go, but on the way continue to meditate on the words of the Torah. They will then sell the item at a low price, and as a result the money you save on account of the lower price will be reckoned to your credit as if you had given her of your own possessions. Hashem will also reward you for your exertions.'" If you happen to know a poor man who is too embarrassed to ask for help, say to him, "Do me a great kindness and take this gift of charity. I will then merit for the Almighty to send my son a cure and he will live." A man who devises subtle ways to help another while at the same time sparing him embarrassment is totally righteous. Thus our sages teach, one who gives a seller coin for charity so that his son may live is a tzaddik gomer, a totally righteous person. Hence David says here, "Happy is he that considers with understanding the poor." What does he do? "Take this from me," he tells him, "so that on an evil day the Hashem will rescue me from all my troubles." When visiting the sick or helping the poor, one needs ample wisdom to help them in practical ways and to set their minds at ease by appropriate words of encouragement. Visiting the sick is recommended for a number of reasons. One is that it gladdens the hearts of the patient to have people coming to see him, and this speeds his recovery. Thus it says about Yaakov when Yosef came to see him, and Israel bowed down towards the head of the bed. A subtle interpretation says, happy is he that considers with understanding the poor and the helpless. He ponders the reasons for this condition in other people, and learns to understand his own situation. As a result, Hashem will rescue him. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Hashem Yishmerehu Bichayehu Yehushar Bo'oriz Vatidnehu Benefesh Oyevov. Hashem, preserve him and keep him alive. Let him be called happy in the land, and do you not deliver him to the will of his enemies. In the merit of visiting the sick, Hashem will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be happy in the land. Moreover, you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies who seek his death. As a reward for having preserved the life of the poor man, Hashem will preserve him by keeping him safe from influences that are injurious to life. Thus, if the benefactor's assistance has preserved the other's sanity by not letting him succumb to the pressures of poverty, he has kept him alive and well physically by generously providing him with food and other necessities, he will marry to be happy in the land. He will have no lack of money, and you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies in this world. Because being poor is as being dead, as the Gemara teaches. The Torah says about the benefactor that Hashem will preserve him and keep him alive for having kept alive the poor man and his family. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hashem Yisodenu al Eres Devoy Kol Mishkovoy Hafachtu Bechol Yoy. Hashem strengthen him upon the bed of illness when he is prostrate, recover him in his illness. When he is ill, may Hashem strengthen him upon the bed of illness. Specifically, upon the bed of illness refers to the seventh day when the illness is particularly severe. He is so gravely ill that his peace and serenity are destroyed. Nevertheless, Hashem will strengthen him. A subtle interpretation says, because of the very fact that he is ill, upon the bed of illness, Hashem strengthens him and supports him and decrees that he should live. Similarly, it says about King Yechezkiyahu when he was ill, and he lived from his sickness. Pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. That is to say, the decree that he die was turned into the decree that he suffer illness. Thus, King David says here that Hashem would strengthen and support him because he had languished on the bed of illness. For his soul was healed. It is as if he's on the sick bed. You turn his prostration from death to life. Pasuk 5. Ani omarti Hashem choneni refor nafshi ki chotosi loch. As for me, I said, O Hashem, favor me with grace, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Here the sick patient begins to speak. As for me, I said, O Hashem, my eyes return to Hashem. I said to him, favor me with grace. The patient did not say, heal my body, but heal my soul, for the root of illness is mental and spiritual distress, the stress of the soul. When the soul is healed, the body too is healed. David says, as for me, whom no one came to visit during my illness, not even he that considers with understanding the helpless, as we learned earlier, as he said, my friends and my companions stand aloof from my plague. I raise my eyes to my Maker and Master and say, O Hashem, favor me with grace. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. I know that the illness of my body stems from the illness of my soul. When I was ill, I did not fall into despair. I said, O Hashem, favor me with grace. Heal my soul, for I have sinned. As soon as my soul is healed, my body will be healed. Favor me with grace, for when I sinned against you, I did not in any way harm you. Thus the scripture says, in Sefer Iyov, if your transgressions are multiplied, what have you done to him? Only a sin committed against a man of flesh and blood inflicts injury. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Oyevai yomru ra li mosai yomus v'ovat shemo. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? Even as I plead for Hashem's mercy, my enemies speak evil of me. They say, when will he die and his name perish? The Medrash says here, had then David enemies? Is it not written all Israel and Jew and Yehuda loved David? The pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph. My enemies thus refers to those who wanted to oppress and rob his people, and he did not let them. Pasuk Zion, pasuk 7. In Baal Liros Shav Yidaber Libo Yikpat Oven Lo Yetzi Lachutz Yidaber. And if one come to see me, he speaks false vanity. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes abroad, he speaks of it. When this man comes to see me during my illness, he pretends concern and woe. But even while sitting down before me, he gathers together the thoughts of his heart about all the evil he will speak against me after he departs my presence. Then when he goes abroad, he speaks what he thought. Another interpretation says, the visitor breaks the patient's heart by what he says. Thus he may tell him, I'm so terribly sorry about your sickness. You see, my father died of it too. So that doesn't help. That's not doing the proper thing. When you tell him that your father died from the same sickness, you have to comfort the sick person. Pasuk 8. Yachad olai yishlachashu kolsonoi olai yachshavu ro'oli. All that hate me whisper together against me do they devise my hurt. His heart gathers iniquity to itself, which he does not express with his mouth. Only when he goes abroad, he speaks of it. Once outside, he comes together with his companions, all that hate me, and they whisper together against me. As they talk, they devise my hurt in their hearts. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Devar b'li'al yotzu bo v'asher shochav lo yosi lokum. An evil thing cleaves fast to him, and now that he lies, he will rise up no more. My enemies say, an evil thing clings fast to him. He must be guilty of some evil and terrible thing. And therefore he will rise up no more from his sick bed. An alternative interpretation. My enemies say that I am suffering from a terrible and evil sickness, and I will rise up no more from my sick bed. A different interpretation says, the evil thing that this man says against me outside will cleave fast to him and be cast upon him. What evil thing does he say? Now that he lies, he will rise up no more. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Gam ish shalomi asher betachti vo ochel lachmi higdil olai okev. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. When I was ill, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted and who did eat of my bread lifted up his heel against me. He treated me with arrogance as if I were beneath his feet. Some explain that the patient is speaking about his physician. Even my own familiar friend, the doctor who eats my bread, he buys his bread with the fee I pay him, has lifted up his heel against me. He now demands a higher fee for every visit. It was once common practice to let one servant first taste the food that he served, lest he put poison in it. Even one's own servant cannot be trusted. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Rava would say, spread the news of my malady so that my enemies can rejoice. I will be healed as a result. As it says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest Hashem see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. A pasuk that is found in Sefer Mishlei. Simon David said earlier, lest they rejoice over me when my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. And he goes on to say in the following pasuk, so pay them back in full for what they have accomplished, since they were the cause of my recovery. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. V'yato Hashem choneni v'akimeni v'ashalmu lehem. But you, O Hashem, favor me with your grace and raise me up that I may pay them. Although my enemies proclaim that I will rise up no more from my sick bed, I beseech you. Favor me with your grace and raise me up that I may pay them. I will make it known to them that they wronged me by speaking as they did. Or else David says that he would pay them back with good for bad, as was his way. Thus he said earlier, as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Bezos Yodati ki chofatstom ki lo By this I will know that you delight in me, that my enemy does not triumph over me. When you will favor me with grace and raise me up, by this I will know that you delight in me, that my enemy does not triumph over me with shouts of rejoicing. I will then see that you upheld me because of my integrity. David says, because my friends and relations have abandoned hope for me, I have no one to pray for me. On the contrary, all their thoughts about me are evil. Therefore do I beseech you, favor me with grace and raise me up and do to my own merit. And by this I will know that you delight in me, and that my prayer has gone up before you. Then I will know that my enemy will not triumph over me in prayer. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Vani besumi tomachto bi vatasiveni lefenecho leola. And as for me, you upheld me because of my integrity and set me before you forever. Because you found me pure and upright, you upheld me and spared my life when I lay on my couch. You set me before you forever. You raised me up and set me before you, you alive and well, in order to serve you. Please turn tape over to side B.
On the lower left-hand side.
Be purified. In another sense, based on the meaning of Tam as innocent, David says, because I went in innocence and integrity without questioning, you upheld me. For one who comes to be purified is helped to do so. You set me before you forever. There is ample reward for my deeds here and now, and ample recompense in my hereafter. The following is brought down in the Yalkut Mechiri in the name of our sages. David said before Hashem, Master of the world, if not for your having upheld me, I would not have been able to stand in the world. Said Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama the Kohen, to what can this be compared? Compared to a long ladder which had a crown placed on the top. Whoever goes up to the top of the ladder, the king said, takes the crown. One man began to go up, but he fell off from the second rung. So also a second and a third. Then someone with understanding followed. When after going up two or three rungs, his legs gave away, he began to call, My master, my king, come and help me. Replied the king, If I had done the same for those who preceded you, they would not have fallen to their deaths. The man replied, My master, my king, the others did not call to you. I called out to you. I beg of you, help me. The latter represents the evil inclination. There came along the flood generation, and the evil inclination swept them away. Then came the Tower of Babel generation, and it swept them away. Then David came, who said, I've called upon you, so help me. If you would not have held me by the hand, I would not have been able to stand. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Mehil Olam, B'yad Olam, Amen, Amen. Blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, Amen and Amen. The sick man had concluded his words, and here in the manner of authors who complete a work, the singer expresses his thanks to Hashem for enabling him to complete the first book of Sefer Tehillim. Blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and Amen. He does the same thing at the end of the fourth book, at the end of the fifth book, which concludes the entire book of Tehillim. He proclaims Hashem's praise in 13 hymns. Blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel, from the beginning of the time to the end of time, every day, Amen and Amen, it is so, it is so. An alternative interpretation of the words Me'olam Atu Olam, literally from world to world, refers to this world and the world to come. Anyone who responds Amen, which connotes lasting life, becomes worthy of two worlds, this world and the world to come. Amen conveys endurance, as we find in the words of the prophet Yeshayahu. On that day, says the Hashem of hosts, with the tent peg that is fastened in a sure and one place. Then again the Torah says, when a psalm is chanted in this world, one man's merits to chant the psalm of the world to come.
As David says, happy are they that dwell in your house. What is that happiness? They will yet praise you forever. Similarly, he says here, blessed be the Hashem, the God of Israel, from the world to the world, amen and amen. He will say amen in this world and amen in the world to come. Before Hashem had even created the Jewish people, the ministering angels sang praises before him, declaring, blessed be the Hashem, the God of Israel. When Adam appeared, they thought that Klal Yisrael meant him. Not so. Hashem informed them. Then Noah appeared, and the same thing happened. Finally, Yaakov appeared. All the Jewish people were called by his name, Israel. Chapter 42. We're starting now, Sefer Beis. Lam Natseach Maskil Lifnei Korach, for the conductor Maskil of the sons of Korach. King David composed these psalms when the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he then gave them to the sons of Korach to be chanted. That is, he gave them to those Levium who were descendants of Korach. For brevity, he refers to them as the sons of Korach, because the actual sons of Korach were prophets. David ascribed these psalms to them. The descendants of Korach were among the greatest of the Levium. They included the prophet Shmuel and the sons of Haman, Shmuel's grandson. The meaning of Maskil, one who has understanding, is intended to convey that the words of this psalm will stir a man's heart and mind. Our sages teach that the sons of Korach, Osev, Elkanah, and Ahiyosaf, were part of their father's Korach's band, who rebelled against Moshe and Aaron. Then, however, as the quarrel deepened, they separated themselves from this group. Subsequently, all who remained near Korach's band were swallowed up as the earth opened its mouth, including his sons. But they remained suspended at the mouth of the earth, as it says, nonetheless, the sons of Korach did not die. From there, they chanted songs and composed these psalms. When they emerged from there, the divine presence rested upon them, and they prophesied about the exiles of the Jewish people, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and about the rise eventually of the kingdom of the house of David. This explains the teaching of our sages that the sons of Korach, Asaph, Elkanah, and Ahiyosaf were among the 10 elders who composed psalms exalting Hashem. When the Holy Spirit rested upon him, David put their songs together with his own songs of exaltation. Our sages add, that is the meaning of the pasuk. The way of life for the wise is upward, a pasuk that is found in Mishlei. What is written about the one who looks upward? The way of life for the wise is upward. The sons of Korach looked upwards to Hashem, and they escaped being buried, but their father did not look upward, and he descended into the pit beneath. A subtle interpretation says, the sons of Korach gave much thought, maskil, whether or not to rise up against Moshe. If we defend them, they considered, we should not fulfill the commandment of honoring our father who said not to do so. But if we rise against them, we should be taking away the honor due to Moshe. Finally, they concluded that they would stand by Moshe, for they said, if the Torah of Moshe is not true, heaven forbid, there is no basis for honoring one's father. These truly keep considerations demanded great understanding. And so the pasuk says here, Lam Netzeach, literally, to the victor. In the quarrel between Korach and Moshe, the Torah was victorious. Pasuk Beis, Ka'ayol Taroig Alafike Moyim Ke Nafshi Sarug Elecho Lekim. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem. A herd of hearts pants and cries out as it heads for the water brook. They are on the way to shake the great thirst brought on by having eaten all the crawly things they usually eat, or else they are desperately trying to evade a predator by plunging into the brook and crossing to the other side. With the same kind of urgency, my soul pants after you, O Hashem, David says. Some say the pasuk speaks figuratively of only a single she-heart. Just as the heart pants for the brook to quench her thirst, and the thirst of her young, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem. The congregation of Israel is that heart or hind, and from her exile in the midst of her many afflictions, she yearns for her God. Psalm about the exile was spoken by means of the Holy Spirit, and it expresses the depth of Israel's longing for deliverance.
She yearns not for revenge against other nations or peoples, but to find delight in serving Hashem, to behold the beauty of Hashem, and to visit early in His temple. Thus David, speaking for Klal Yisrael, goes on to say, when will I come and appear before Hashem? Redemption will include, as we're going to learn this in the next pasuk, physical deliverance from exile, but the essential thing will be the redemption of the soul. That is to say, the name of Hashem will be exalted throughout the world, and the present for as long as Israel continues in exile, Hashem's name is profaned and the suffering of Israel is increased because she sorrows at the profanation of His name. As he says, they say to me all the day, where is your God? David deplores the yoke of exile because God's name is profaned. When the heart finally comes to the brook, the strong current pulls and pushes, and she cannot drink. Her thirst is intensified. Thus too my soul pants after you, O Hashem. Just as the heart pants after the water brooks, not for her own sake, but for the sake of all other creatures, so my soul pants during exile, not for our sake, but for the sake of your glory. The pasuk is a cry of longing for redemption. Just as the she-heart pants to reach the water brooks for her own sake and for the sake of a young, so my soul pants with intense yearning to come to the land of Israel and there to serve Hashem. The theme of Israel's longing for the redemption also explains the allusion to water. When the Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim and traveled in the desert, they were kept supplied with water from Miriam's well, and they were nourished by man and quail. Similarly, Hashem will provide for the Jewish people in the future. According to Rashi, as the heart pants refers both to the cry of the male and the cry of the female. The male cries about the troubles of others, that they have no water, and the female cries about her own troubles, that she cannot give birth. That is to say, David prays here both upon his own afflictions and the afflictions of the divine presence in exile. There are two pantings, as it were. Just as the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem, concerning my own distress. My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God, and concerning the distress of others. When will I come and appear before Hashem? When will the divine presence return to Zion? The holy Zohar writes as follows about the pasuk: for the conductor, about the hind of morning, Ayalat HaShachar. What is the hind of morning? It is a certain compassionate creature, that among all the creatures on earth, there is none as compassionate. And in time of distress, when she feels the need for food for herself and for all the other creatures, she departs and from far away brings back provisions. She refuses to eat until she has returned. She gathers all the animals and while standing in their midst gives to each his food. Having fed the others, she feels as sated as if she had eaten more than any of them. She distributes all the food by the time the morning light is about to appear. So when morning comes, all are sated. Similarly, when the earth needs rain, all the animals gather about her. She goes up to the peak of a high mountain, places her head between her knees, and she bleats again and again. Then Hashem, blessed be He, hears her bleating and is filled with compassion. The earth is spared. She then descends from the peak of the mountain and hurriedly conceals herself. All the creatures run after her, look for her, but cannot find her. Accordingly, David says here, as the heart pants after the water brooks, when the earth has dried up and all the creatures are parched for water, when the hind is pregnant, her womb closes. As the time for giving birth comes due, she bleats and cries, one cry after another, a total of 70 cries, corresponding to the words in Psalm 20, Yanchu Hashem v'yom tzara, may Hashem answer you in the day of trouble. The psalm for women in labor is what the women should say when they are out of labor. They should say this particular paragraph of Tehillim. Hearing her cry, Hashem, blessed be He, causes a great snake to come out of the mountain of darkness. It moves between the mountains, its mouth licking up the dust. Approaching the hind, it bites her womb twice. The womb opens and she gives birth. Thus the scripture says, the voice of Hashem makes the hinds to calve, to have children. This is a parable about the redemption. Just as the hind gives birth only after being bitten by a snake, so the Jewish people will be redeemed after having suffered the afflictions of exile. Then again, the craving for water alludes to Israel's hunger and thirst for the Torah, which they study while in exile. Furthermore, just as Hashem quenches the heart's thirst by bringing water from the subterranean depths, so He will bring us knowledge. Then the earth will be full of knowledge of Hashem, as the waters cover the sea. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. In this psalm, which begins the second book, David proclaims, just as the she-heart pants after the water brooks, which are the source of her life, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem, for upon you depends the life of my soul. This is Israel's answer to the nations who do not understand her cleaving to the living God. The soul yearns for perfection, which cannot be attained except by cleaving to Hashem. So David goes on to say, when shall I come and appear before Hashem? This means, when will I attain perfection? As it says, your face, Hashem, I seek. Similar in the forthcoming verse, the yearning to cleave to Hashem is likened to a thirst for water. One can survive a longer time without bread than without water. Figuratively, the thirsty heart pants for water. David mentions the heart specifically because no other creature feels thirst so badly. Similarly, very intense is his yearning to come before the living God. The waters of a brook run swift and strong. The heart is caught in the current and cannot drink from it. Similarly, by analogy, knowledge of matters related to Hashem are difficult to grasp, for man's physical nature is opaque to the penetration of such knowledge. When the earth is in pain for lack of rain, the she-heart digs a hole, thrusts her horns inside, and bleats pitifully until Hashem takes pity and brings up water from the depths. When she's suffering the pains of giving birth because her womb is narrow, she forgets her own suffering and prays on behalf of the rest of the world's inhabitants. Similarly, David says, despite my afflictions and my enemies, I pray only for the sake of the divine presence in exile. My soul pants after you, O Hashem. All animals pant for water, as it says, even beasts of the field cry to you, for the water brooks are dried up, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yoel. But David speaks of the heart, for while other creatures are close to human habitation and can drink water from pits and ravines and caves, the heart pants for the sources of living waters. So my soul pants after you, O Hashem. Hashem is the source of life-giving waters for the soul to quench her thirst by drawing from the supernal source on high. Just as the heart longs for many waters upon the earth, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem. Let the Holy Spirit be everywhere, then I will merit that it rest upon me as well. Just as the heart, the most pious of the beasts, pants after the water brooks truly and innocently, so my soul pants after you, O Hashem, in truth and integrity. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Sama nafshi lelehim leel choy mosai ovoy veyuroya pnei lehim. My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. When will I come and appear before Hashem? The congregation of Israel says, my soul thirsts for Hashem. My soul longs to return to those days when I would go up to Yerushalayim and the pilgrimage festivals, Yom Tov. David thus speaks prophetically of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, alluding to the three different exiles that will bring an end to the sacred service, but it concludes with an expression of hope for the redemption. The congregation of Israel will cry out and be redeemed from the domination of Greece and Rome. Similarly, Chachamim have taught, the congregation of Israel said before Hashem, blessed be He, Master of the world, when will you return to us the honor and glory of being able to ascend to Yerushalayim three times a year, there to celebrate the Yom Tovim and behold the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence? Hashem answered, my children, in this world you never made the pilgrimage more than three times a year at best, but when the exile comes to an end, you will be going up every new moon and every Shabbos, as it says, and it will come to pass that every new moon and every Shabbos shall all flesh come to bow down to the ground before me, says Hashem, is a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. A spirit of purity would come over the pilgrims ascending to the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, David likens the yearning to be able to do so once again as a thirst, just as one who is parched slakes his thirst all at once, and in a short time the effect of seeing the light of the king's countenance of the living God is instantaneous. Similarly, the singer says, "My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of Hashem. My heart and my flesh will sing in joy to the living God." Accordingly, he says here, "My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. God is the wellspring of life. I thirst for this high plane of existence, of being close to Hashem. When will I come and appear before Hashem?" Appear, aroi, is the passive form. That is, he longs for his countenance to be enlightened by the light of the living God. One who walks in the path of uprightness becomes worthy of this, since a man's wisdom lights up his face, and the force of his face is changed. It's a pasuk found in Koheles. Thus Moshe merited that the skin of his face acquired a radiance. Another explanation of the passive form says, Hashem is not a material being, and his servants ask one another, "Where is the place of the glory?" It is we who are seen by the eye of his supervision. The congregation of Israel says, "My soul thirsts for Hashem. I am not famished for food or drink, but my soul thirsts to behold your countenance." As David says elsewhere, "My heart has said, seek my face, your face Hashem I seek." When the time comes, the congregation of Israel will once again be in the same state she had been when she stood at Mount Sinai, and Hashem said, "I have said, you are as angels, all of you sons of the Most High." Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hoyusol li dimasi lechem yomom belailo be'emor elai kol hayom aye eluk hecho. My tears have been my bread day and night, while they say to me all the day, "Where is your God?" David says, "During my exile, when all the day my enemies kept taunting me, 'Where is your God?' I wept so much that tears were as my bread. It was not a day that I did not weep twice, or that I did not weep while eating." This indicates that weeping sates a person, and it does not ask for nourishment. Thus Elkanah said to his wife, "Why do you weep, and why do you not eat?" As we find this in Shmuel Aleph. "Although they only say to me, 'Where is your God?' during the day, my anguish is then so great that I shed tears day and night, and I have no desire for food. The other peoples keep saying to me, 'Where is your God?' They want to drive me to despair, thus to have me forfeit the possibility of my ever being redeemed. Instead, I shed tears day and night until weeping becomes my substitute nourishment. They are not tears of despair, however, for I believe in the total redemption. I will yet merit to go up with the throng to the house of our Hashem. Tears have become the bread of my morning meal and the bread of my evening meal. I weep in the morning and I weep in the evening because they say to me all the day, 'Where is your Hashem?'" When tears become like a staple food, they stimulate the thirst for the fountains of redemption, for prophecy, and for the Holy Spirit, far beyond the soul's natural yearning for the living God. Similarly, the darkness is deepened when the light we had known vanishes. Accordingly, the singer declares, "Not only do I bemoan the exile of the divine presence, the Shekhinah, so that my tears have become my bread day and night, but the other peoples add to my suffering by taunting me all the day with the question, 'Where is your Hashem?' It is like giving a thirsty man salty waters to drink." Thus David indeed says, "My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God," and still they add their taunt, "Where is your God?" Our sages elaborate, "My tears have been my bread day and night. Just as bread is the staple food that is eaten all the time, so my tears are constant." According to the Medrash, thus says the congregation of Israel, "Master of the world, when the wicked Esav shed tears three times, you rewarded him by letting him, his descendants, rule over the entire world, and by giving him every material benefit. So when you will behold the humiliation of your children whose eyes stream tears all the day, and their weeping is their bread, assuredly you will then be filled with compassion for them." That is to say, whereas Esav shed tears over material things, and he was recompensed so handsomely with material blessings, assuredly, we who weep for the exile of the Shekhinah deserve our reward. The pasuk says literally, "My tear, dim'asi," the singular form. Even a single tear was so fully laden that it was my bread day and night. Pasuk 5. Eile eskura v'eshpecho olai nachi ki evor basoch edadem adbeis lakim b'kol rina v'soda hamon chogeg. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul with me. I recall how I would pass on with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of Hashem with the voice of joy and praise and the multitude keeping holiday. Now David goes on to explain the reason for his incessant weeping. When they would say to him, "Where is your God?" it brought back the memory of his pilgrimage to Yerushalayim amidst the great multitude. I remember these things and I pour out my soul with me. I remember how I would pass on with the throng and how together we went in procession to the house of Hashem. Instead of with the throng, some translate Pesach as in covered wagons. There is also a prophetic allusion to the Jewish people living in the Babylonian exile after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. When the children would relate how their fathers used to go up to the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim for the pilgrimage festivals, they spoke as if they themselves had done so. For it is the way of children to speak about what happened to their forefathers as if it happened to them. Thus we find that the children of those who came out of Mitzrayim said, "And the Egyptians dealt sorely with us and afflicted us," a pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. Similarly here, each one would say, "I remember these things, the early days when we went up to Yerushalayim together as a throng without anyone hindering us. We marched with songs of thanksgiving on the lips and being able to do so in peace. How I would pass on with the throng in procession to the house of God. When the massive throngs extended from the city of Yerushalayim to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the press of people was so great that it was impossible to hurry. One moved slowly as if the legs were caught in a thicket." It may also be that David is remembering the times when, as a youngster, his father would take him along to Yerushalayim. Thus the Gemara says, "Who is a youngster and hence exempt from making the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim? That includes anyone who cannot hold on to his father's hand and go up from Yerushalayim to the Temple Mount. If the child has reached this age, then the father must bring him along to the house of Hashem." In contrast to those who travel in caravans, who are tired and weary and cross, the pilgrims went up to Yerushalayim with the voice of joy and praise. At the same time, the surrounding peoples were kept silent, Domimim, here linked to Adodom. They were not unruly and did not come across the borders, for Hashem was with us. As the Torah promised, "Neither shall any man desire your land when you will go up to appear before Hashem your God 3 times a year," as found in Chumash Shemos. According to the Medrash, an angel was created after every step taken by the pilgrims. If at first only a certain number could be going, in the end they were numerous beyond numbering. Accordingly, the pasuk says, "I would pass on in the beginning with the throng of a certain size, but then when nearing the Beis HaMikdash, I led them in procession to the house of Hashem. They were simply them beyond any number." This psalm was chanted by the sons of Korah, who spoke for the congregation of Israel. "Master of the world, I remember the security and the well-being and the tranquility of my existence, but now all this has moved away from me. I weep and groan, I cry out, who will make it as if it was in those early days? The Beis HaMikdash was intact. Inside you descended from the lofty heavens and rested your divine presence upon me. The nations of the earth sang my praises. Whenever I asked for your mercy despite my sins, you heeded my plea. But now I am ashamed and disgraced. Now, O Master of the world," the congregation of Israel says, "when I pass by your house and see it in ruins, I hear from inside a weeping voice say, this is the place where the seed of Avraham offered sacrifices before you, where the Kohanim, the priests, would stand up upon the platform, and the Levim played their harps. Now foxes dance on this site, but what am I to do? My own sins have brought this about. False prophets led me astray from the path of life to the way of death. Is it any wonder that when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. In the past, I would go up to Yerushalayim along well-kept roads, but now I pass through thickets. As it says, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns, a pasuk found in Hosea. In the past, when I made my pilgrimage, there were trees and boughs over my head, but now I am at the mercy of the sun. I remember these things, how in the past I walked in Hashem's protective shade, but now I walk in the shadow of the alien kingdoms. In the past, I would bring multitudes of festive offerings, as it says here, Hamon Hogeg, literally a multitude of the festive offering. But now we go up in stealth and come down in stealth. We will continue. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ma tishtochachayu nafshi vatehemi oloi hochili lelekim ki od odenu Yeshuos panav. Why are you cast out, O my soul? And why do you moan with me? Hope in Hashem, for I will yet praise him for the deliverance of his countenance. David continues to speak consolingly to his soul in her suffering and sorrow over the memory of the early days when she used to march in procession to the house of Hashem. As we learned in the previous pasuk, why are you cast down, O my soul, he pleads. Why do you crouch down to the earth and moan with me? Hope in Hashem, for I will yet praise him for acts of deliverance that he will perform for my sake. He will build the future Beis HaMikdash, and then I will come and appear before Hashem. In response to the confusion and pain of his soul, he says to her, why do you rage at me? It depends not on me, but on you. Hope in Hashem. Ask for his acceptance of your plea and of your hope. Do not despair. Another interpretation says, why are you cast down when it is so splendid for you? The more cast down you are, the more you moan with me about the afflictions of exile. Behold your deliverance in that very thing. That very moment begins Hashem's salvation. I will yet praise him. I will praise him for the coming redemption that will alleviate my suffering and bring us out of Golus. In Golus I am a lamb among 70 wolves. I will praise him for having saved me from 70 wolves. Then I will praise him not for having restored my honor, but for the deliverance and glory of his countenance. The Shekhinah will then no longer be in exile. Three times in this psalm, David speaks of the soul as cast down. These correspond to the three pilgrimage festivals when the people would go up to Yerushalayim. We will continue Mir Tushem in our next shir.